Few exhortation. A little exhortation. Few minutes. Then after that, we are anointing everybody because today is the last Sunday of the month of February. We anoint everybody as our custom is in this church. We anoint you so that you enter the month of March in a glorious way. So that the God that watched over us this month of February will continue with us in the month of March. Amen. I observed something. The brother that gave his thanksgiving that wedded yesterday, Brother Dozier, the goat that he brought to do thanksgiving, he brought it earlier and tied it ready for today. The goat escaped. Amen. The goat escaped. Why did the goat escape? The goat no say, then bring him to kill him. The goat know if he remained there, they will kill him. When he got opportunity to escape, he did not stay there, he escaped. A goat knows how to escape from death. Human beings don't know how to escape from death. Goat escaped. See now, then they find her, they never see her. Hallelujah. If I don't preach any message now, today's message, that goat has preached it. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son a way of escape. He provided a way of escape. Who will believe our reports? And to whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? Amen. The way of escape from death. From death. The whole world, a death sentence is over us. The whole world. It looks funny now. The same message we are preaching now, Noah preached it for 120 years. They didn't take him seriously. Noah's own was 120 years. Our own is almost 2,000 years. The same message, God's patience in this age, God's patience is stretched forth even more than any other age since this world began. 2,000 years, he has been patiently appealing to man. Escape, escape, escape. 2,000 years now, almost 2,000 years. And man is still going about his business as if he doesn't care. But an animal, a goat, saw opportunity. His own opportunity did not last even up to one day. He escaped. And the reason is the conscience of man has been seared with what? Hot iron. No more conscience. No more conscience. The thing that should make us reason with God has been removed from man. And so man can stand and look at God as if he is higher than God. He is wiser than God. He is better than God. You see? And that is why the whole world is in a condition of decay. The rot is getting more and more and more and more rotting. The conscience, no more conscience. I used to tell you, I say, every human being that God created God, I mean created man in his image and in his likeness. We are first and foremost spiritual beings before we became physical beings. There is something that is in us. Every human being is a spiritual entity. There's something about you as a human being that lets you communicate with the great eternal spirit. He is not a man. Therefore, he does not relate to us the way man will relate to man. He relates to us from the spirit. It's from the spirit. And he has various means of contacting us and talking with us and dealing with us. He could talk to us through a voice. But he can also, you know, talk to us through the means that English people call premonition. You just sit down and a certain feeling comes upon you. And you just begin to sense there's danger around. There's danger around. There is just, you know, and I say something. Every human being, no danger comes your way without God informing you in advance. You are driving your car out of your house and you are going to meet with an accident, he will inform you. You are entering a vehicle that is going to have accident on that journey, he will inform you. There's a feeling you will have. You will become uncomfortable. Something will just let you know, there is something wrong with this journey. I think I should abort this journey. You are standing on a bus stop and there is one madman coming with a failed brake that is coming to clear everybody in that bus stop. Something will be disturbing you. There's a danger around. But the problem is, when that thing that God has placed inside of us is reacting to call our attention to sense danger, that conscience has been killed. Therefore, man is just groping in darkness. Like that. All the dangers, everything going on around that shouldn't be. William Branham was giving us an example. Something that happened in the 60s or so. He said, somewhere in India, there was to be an earthquake. Nobody knew there was to be an earthquake. No man knew. They had no means of knowing. Up to now, you know, you can't know in advance. But all of a sudden, 3 days before the earthquake struck, 3 days, they discovered that no animal, all the animals in that area migrated away from that area. And nobody knew why they were migrating away. Nobody knew. They just suddenly discovered all the cows that were grazing around, they left that place. All the animals left that place. The frogs jumped out of that place. The chameleons found their way out. Everyone that crawled on the ground, walked on the ground, they all disappeared. Suddenly, there was an earthquake. All the animals disappeared, but man was sitting down cooler. No animal was killed. But men were destroyed, human beings. The tsunamis that happened a few years back in Indonesia, how many animals died there? But you see the hundreds of thousands of human beings that perished. While the animals were running away, human beings were going to the beach to relax. And God, in his infinite mercy, because even though our conscience has been blocked, taken away, he still decided to anoint preachers to warn the people. If they will not hear my voice, he enabled us to have technology of using microphone so that you can hear. Is anybody not hearing me now? Everybody is hearing me now. What am I telling you? I am telling you to escape from a destruction that this earth is doomed to pass through. One of these days, church, this thing we are speaking, our forefathers of the faith have spoken. The past 2,000 years, it will come to pass. A few people continue to call me. I received a text, the latest text, yesterday or so. It's a young girl that called. She said, Pastor, me, I have decided to follow you to this heaven. Oh. Pastor, don't go without me. Oh. That's what she was writing. Do something, oh, because when I want to move forward spiritually, I find myself still, my own nature is disturbing me. Pastor, you must carry me to this heaven. Oh. Do something. Oh. Praise the Lord. The truth is, no human being can take you to heaven. There's only one mediator between God and man. Who is that? If you want him to help you, the Bible says he stands at the door and he is knocking. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Open up your heart and let him come in. If you allow him come in, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let him come in. Let him come in. That's all the message we preach. Let him come in. And those of you who have decided to go to heaven, I want you to note, praise the Lord, that going to heaven is not a smooth ride. It is a battle. And so let's look at one battle. The message I want to preach today is the water test. The water test. Let's read it in Judges chapter 7. Judges. Hallelujah. Judges. Chapter 7, if you are there. Judges is in the New Testament. Oh, you know. Some people are opening New Testament looking for it, so I'm helping them. Judges is in the Old Testament. No judge, but Christ alone is the judge in the New Testament. Judges chapter 7, and let me read a few verses, maybe the first 7 verses. So we get a picture from where I take this little exhortation. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Hadad, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. Moreh in the valley. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, remember, they are going for battle against the Midianites. Thou mighty man of valor, Gideon. Hallelujah. They are now going, because by his hand, God was going to give victory to Israel in the battle. Israel is a type of Christians. Israel is the church natural. The church in the wilderness, the Bible referred to Israel as the church in the wilderness. We are the spiritual church too in the wilderness also. And all of you want to understand what we as the church we go through, then you go to the Old Testament and see what Israel went through. Covenant children of God with the promise from the owner and landlord of the whole earth. He gave them a promised land. But the devil said they will not possess their land. God gave them the land of Canaan. But every inch of that land that they possessed, they fought a battle to possess it. A type of the Christians that every promise of God in the Bible, before it can work for you, you will fight a battle to possess it. It is normal. Don't just sit down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't just sit down and say, I am a child of God. If your father is a billionaire and has all the money, all the wealth, all the food in the house, amen. All the father will do is to provide the food in the house, but it will be your responsibility to take it and cook it and put it inside your stomach. Your father's business is to provide the food, but you are the one to get it into edible form and eat with your hand. If you tie your hand, no matter how you cry, the father will look at the kitchen. Once the food is there, he has finished with you. He has fulfilled his own responsibility. You too have your responsibility to fulfill. You are to enter that kitchen and cook. God has given us his promises for healing, for deliverance, divine health, for your progress, for prosperity, for everything. The Bible is loaded. The Bible is our promised land. That is where it is. All the promises are loaded there. The bank account of heaven is this Bible. And all God expects you to do is to pick any promise, claim it. But before it can work for you, Satan will make sure there is a battle for you to fight. That is what we learn from Israel. Amen. You see why we do vigils here now every Friday? It's only a foolish Christian that does not believe in prayers. You will be a Christian, but a miserable Christian. You'll be a miserable Christian, certainly. And so part of possession of their land, God raised up. Because at that time, the children of Israel had committed sin. Every Christian, once you commit sin, you break the edge of protection, Satan will finish you. And each time they get to that state, God will release the enemies to deal with them. For whom he loves, he does what? He chastens. Every one of us that is a true child of God, if you commit any sin, expect a rod from our Father. If you are committing any sin, you are living in sin, in disobedience, and nothing is happening to you to call your attention to the fact that you are doing something wrong, it is evidence you are not connected to the Heavenly Father. Your Father is another person, not God. Because no father that loves his son will watch his son misbehave and not correct him. Spear the rod and spoil the child. So God operates that principle too. You commit any sin, he will take away his peace from you. He will make your way rough. He will frustrate you. He can even kill you if you want to disgrace his name. But you are still his child. And so the Midianites were those God was using. And one day, praise God, it was such that if you read the earlier verses, when the Jews, when they go to farm, and they are harvesting their farm, they were hiding in a mountain, hiding, so that once the Midianites see them gathering food to go and eat, they will just bounce there, bah, and collect everything and go. You are our slaves. Who told you you can have food? Is that not how Satan does to some Christians who don't pay their tithes? Is that not what the devil does to Christians who live in sin? Satan will tell you, you can't prosper. Once you gather, he will jump there and scatter it. The accuser of the brethren. It was in that estate that the angel of the Lord visited Gideon. Told Gideon, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon say, which one shall be mighty man? Who be this one when they talk? If there is a God, then why are we still suffering? Amen. Well, we know the story. He was commissioned. God told him he will use him to deliver Israel from the Midianites. And now they were going for the battle. Verse 2. Judges chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And their return of the people, 22,000. And there remained 10,000. So how many were going for that battle? 32,000. 22,000 were afraid. And they turned back. How many left? 10,000. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee. They are the water test. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lappeth, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lappeth will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. Many are called, few are chosen. This is a picture. That story is there. It's a picture of the church today. I told you in John chapter 19, Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, his final moments to fulfill his purpose on earth. That Roman soldier pierced his side. What came out? Blood and water. Not only water, John emphasized it, but blood and water. And we took time here some time ago to tell you about the blood and water, what it signified. Blood there was speaking of the battle that he, Christ, has released on earth. Water there is talking about the abundant life that he, Christ, has released also to the earth. Two things flow from the cross on Calvary, for those hearing me for the first time. Two things flow from the cross on Calvary. Blood and water. They flow from Jesus. And I told you that so much attention is focused on the water side of the gospel, and the blood part is relegated. But whether you relegate it or not, every true Christian has the blood part to also, you know, to also follow. Because Christianity is a faith of battle. Battle even unto the death. I taught you, how many of you were not here during the vision? Just wave your hand. Just wave your hand. Okay. Let me be sure that, can you stand up? If you didn't come for vigil, for any reason you are not here for vigil. For any reason, okay, and you are a church member. If you are not a church member, sit down. Sit down if you are not a church member. But if you are a church member, for any reason you couldn't come for vigil, can you stand up? For any reason, justified or not. Hey, Jehovah, all this number didn't come for VG. So who are those that came and filled this place now? Well, listen, I preached a message of during the vigil that I titled Behold the Antichrist. It was about 2.5 hours sermon. I chose the vigil because I didn't want to break that message. It is on the tape stand. Go and pick it. We use the scripture to identify the Antichrist spirit. We use it to prove that the Antichrist spirit was not that gate of hell Jesus Christ spoke about. And we trace him from before the Garden of Eden, where he came from. And how that spirit started in the battle against the soul of man. Don't sit down, remain standing. I know we're not convicted. Stand up. If I have my way, you will remain standing until I finish my message. But I don't have that way. I don't have that power. Because some people will fall down and faint. Then they stop the service. We will begin pray for them. I want you to go and get that message. Because I explained the battle that is going on extensively in that message. In fact, Evangelist Ike had to promise me money to buy fuel to reward me for that message I preached, because he said, but the money he has not given me up to now, because he said that message opened his eyes to so many things, and I was preaching and our members were not there. You know, it's not good. Praise the Lord. That's the secret of the Antichrist. It's exposed in that message. Behold the Antichrist. How God of creation came down on the earth to redeem us. He came in a man known as the mystery of godliness. Satan too, we also end up in the mystery of iniquity, that he will also come in another man. And we trace the Bible to know who that man will be. And that man, according to the Bible and according to other informations we have, will soon appear. Amen. And he's the Pope of the Catholic Church. I say it so that we never take offering. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm saying it for you. I want to provoke your interest to go and get that message. Shile, produce plenty. See all of them here. They'll pick one. Go and listen to it. It's in a DVD form so that we don't break the message. You hear it. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Be seated. Won't you thank me for speaking? You are supposed to stand. Supposed to stand. You are lucky you are not in Reverend King Church. There's another inter message preacher at Abulegba. For not coming for VG, he will cane you openly. Bring you to the altar and cane you. Enter message pastor. By the altar, there is the cane. The cane is at the altar like this. If he's preaching, you are sleeping, he will take it. Fiat! Holy Ghost beating. And you will wake up. Some demons are cast out like that. The demon of sleep should be cast out with cane. Yeah. I'm telling you, you will not sleep again till. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 and 13, if you read it there, Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist, hallelujah, what did he say? He said, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent taketh it by force. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence. And church, when I say the children, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, amen. The violence there that is referring to is, remember I say, it suffers violence. Violence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent taketh it by force. That scripture is a loaded scripture. It lets you know what the church was to go through, and that scripture has been fulfilled. What the people, those who believed, went through church. This gospel that we are enjoying anyhow like this, people have shed blood to uphold their faith. Blood. Let me sing one song for you. Hymn number 95. The first one to die for this Holy Ghost plan was John the Baptist, but he died like a man. Then came the Lord Jesus, they crucified him. He thought that the Spirit would save men from sin. Oh, he's dripping with blood. Yes, he's dripping with blood. This Holy Ghost gospel is dripping with blood. The blood of disciples who died for the truth. This Holy Ghost gospel is dripping with blood. There was Peter and Paul and John the Divine. They gave up their lives so this gospel could shine. They mingled their blood like the prophets of old, so the true word of God could honest be told. Then they stoned Stephen. He preached against sin. He made them so angry, they dashed his head in. But he died in the Spirit and gave up the ghost and went to join all others in that living hope. Their souls under the altar crying, how Lord, for the Lord to punish those who've done wrong. But there's going to be more who will give their lives blood. For this Holy Gospel is blood and is. Oh yes, he's dripping with blood. Yes, he's dripping with blood. This Holy Ghost gospel is dripping with blood. The blood of disciples who died for the truth. Yes, sir. This Holy Ghost gospel
mystery filled with blood.
Hallelujah! It's dripping with blood. Matthew chapter 10, you read it from verse 34. He said, don't think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. That is what Jesus Christ is saying. And when Jesus was saying, talking about John the Baptist suffering violence, he is not telling us to go and carry our sword and our guns and begin to kill in the name of Jesus. No! When he said the kingdom of God suffered violence, what type of violence? When he said the violent take it by force. Look, let's get a clearer picture. The same narration from Luke chapter 16. See the way he put it. Luke chapter 16. Let me read one verse there. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 16. This is the way he put it. The law and the prophets were until John. This is the way he put it. He said, since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. Every man presseth into it. Therefore, when he said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force there. It is violent faith. It is violent faith. Violent faith. He said, every man struggle to enter. From that time, to enter into the kingdom. You want to follow me to heaven, sister? He said, strive to enter. Struggle to enter. Have you ever stood at a bus stop when there are no vehicles and very few buses are plying and hundreds are at that bus stop, and then that is the period you will see rain wants to fall, few buses, so many people. Have you noticed? That is the period you will see some young girls, they will remove their shoe. They will put inside their handbag. Anything that will disturb them, because the first bus that come in, I must enter. Who has ever experienced that struggle at the bus stop? Thank you. Do you see any girl with high heel shoe at that time coming? Eh? Because he knows, if I don't enter, so many people are trying to enter, I will stay here, rain will beat me tire. So the only thing is, we are waiting. That time, no man, no woman, no small pikin, no old man, everybody is minding himself, come and see struggle. When they say, oh, shoddy, what happened? Everybody is striving to enter. He said, that is how you should struggle to enter the kingdom of God. You think I'm going to hold you like this? Sister, let's go. You see, this, your hair, where you palm, you're looking good. Just take your time. If you are convinced, you leave it. If you are not convinced, after all, it is in the heart. Let's go. We're going to heaven. I'm on my way to go. Then we are petting you. And that is how you follow me. Me too, I am struggling to enter. Me too, I am struggling to enter. He says, strive to enter. Why did he say you should strive? Because there will be attempts to stop you from entering. There will be attempts by the devil, by condition, by situation, to stop you from entering. He told Timothy, Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, hallelujah. If you read it from verse 6, he was boasting, I have fought the good fight. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, he told him, fight the good fight of faith. Jude, in verse 3, said, contend, earnestly, contend for the truth. They are saying the same thing. Knowing what we try to hinder you. Struggle and enter. And why did he say you should struggle? Because the way that leadeth to life, the road, the gate is narrow. The gate is narrow. The way, the road there is narrow. The gate is rough. The gate is straight, rough, and the road is narrow. And everybody is struggling to enter. Church, if you don't understand how salvation is, you will just think that you can just come anyhow. Church, you from the day you give your life to Christ, immediately an assignment to watch over your soul begins. It's a daily watch. The struggle continues. I told you here, God, I preached to you, I titled that message, The Gospel According to Nature. In that message, I told you concerning salvation, God has left something for us to know. Church, listen, many are called, few are chosen. Out of 2 million people, almost 2 million, that left Egypt for the promised land, how many entered the promised land? Of those people that left. How many? Only 2 people among those multitudes that left for the journey to the promised land. Only 2 made it. The rest, they perished in the wilderness. Can somebody learn something from there? It's not enough that you have left the world. The journey begins after you leave Egypt. There is a wilderness, and it is during that wilderness experience that you know who is who. I told you another one. I said that, do you know that God created a man, and before you can pass a seed for your wife to be pregnant, that same seed, you must have at least 40 something million. Do you hear me? Before you could come up. Wait, they sleep here soon. Before your mother could produce you, your father had to have this same kind of seed. How many? How many? To be able to get one child, how many sperm cells must the man have? At least an average of 50 million to be able to produce one. Why did God do it like that? God is preaching a message. You've seen the system of reproduction. Many are called. Why? Immediately the man releases the sperm cells, 50 million will start the journey to enter. But the gate is very small. 50 million sperm cells are struggling. Namigo enter. See, if there are only 30 million, no, not yet. None will be able to make it. You can't get any there. That's why I say, church, the multitude, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, that your church is thousands of members does not make all of them going to heaven. The truth is, we need to be so many like this. Out of there, God will choose the ones that will go in. That's the truth. It's a law. You see why he says you should struggle. Strive to enter. Struggle to enter. Because many are called. 50 million are called into that woman's womb. But how many are choosing? What? If they get rich 3, it becomes national news. 3 plates. 4 plates. 5 plates. 6 plates. 7 plate. Have you heard of the color? Quadruplet. What is the color? If they put it, you enter Guinness Book of Record if you get rich 7. And if you get rich 7, you get a watch because you know that some will soon die. Will soon die. You know some will die. You have not seen how many people fall down under anointing. Are all of them still alive now? Some of them died in bride assembly after. How many received the Holy Ghost? Received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Say, hey, Thomas going to rejoice. You see how many we got today? Wait first. Because in the course of time, some may die. How many can still retain their fire? Amen. It is a law. You see, this knowledge makes you to understand why Apostle Paul says that we should walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Walking it out there is make sure you don't take things for granted. Oh yes, once saved, I am forever saved. Before that scripture means anything to you, you'll be sure you are saved. You must be sure you are saved before you can say, forever, I am saved. Because some people are actually not saved. Because in the course of that struggle, the gate after the elect of those 50 million sperm cells, the elect enters, hallelujah, something is released and the gate is closed. And then you see all of them struggling. It is in the course of that struggle. They kill themselves and all of them die in the tribulation. Oh, praise the Lord. Church, it will not be your portion. You will enter. I say you must enter. And I always say, if one person will enter from Bride Assembly, Lord, may I be the one. May I be the one. I don't know how many more people are praying that type of prayer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, fight the good fight of faith. He said, lay hold on eternal life, wherein thou also art called. We are called unto eternal life. Lay hold on it. That is our destiny. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This battle is not a physical battle. It is a spiritual battle. Then you understand why Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are what? Mighty through God. They are not carnal. They are spiritual weapons. Therefore, if Gideon is going to a battle, we too, we are going for a battle. Hallelujah. But God knows. See the people that are going. See how many of them are going. God knows all of them. That there are two groups of people that are there going. Gideon, 32,000 to start with. He said, if I allow all of them go, I know Israel. They will say, it is our number. They will put God away. There are people that put God away in their battles. They think they are smart. That's why they defeated the enemy. They think they are smart. That's why they made the money they are making. So God always wants to take the glory concerning your life. Therefore, he will do it in a way that you will know he is the one that did it. He is the one that fought your battle for you. And so 32,000, he said, wait, I know the church is a mixed multitude. I know who they are. The first one, he said, go and tell them. I allow them. The fearful. Tell your people, anybody that is afraid of this battle, let him go back home. 22,000, say, God, I thank you. Aya. You have not seen people, even in this church, let's have a fast. 21 days fasting is coming up very soon. You will know the fearful that time. Fast one day, 12 o'clock, then go sneak. Like I said, then they go somewhere, enter somewhere, drink a coke. Say, I was going to follow this, I nearly die. The fearful. Why were they fearful? The Midianites have been dominating them all these years. They have been stronger than them all these years. They are no longer bold to confront them. But those that put their trust in the Lord, those that wait on the Lord, those that put their trust in the Lord, the Bible said they will be what? Bold. bold as a lion. A problem with us is we have no confidence in the God we serve. The fearful, they still exist today. You are not worthy of that battle. You are not worthy of making it. Lie, lie! What is the fear for? Two things. You are fear. Your fear is you are afraid of losing your life. That's why I go do now. Everybody will kill me. And Jesus say, don't fear those who have power only over your body, but have no power over your soul. You can kill me, but can you kill my soul? No. He said, but fear only he that has the power to kill both your body and your soul. And who is that person you should fear? God and God alone. Fear. Secondly, fear of what to eat. A lot of us are refusing to take side with righteousness, compromising righteousness for fear of hunger. Fear of hunger have made Christians to compromise to have a little money here, have a little money there. Man must survive. God, you understand. In that estate, you are not qualified for that battle. Go away from the kingdom. You are not part of the God's army. Hallelujah. You're not part of it. When Apostle Paul said, I have fought the good fight. He said, henceforth there is a crown of righteousness that is laid there waiting for him. He said, and not only him, but all those that will love the appearing of God. And when the battle is over, I shall wear a crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh, we are a crown. Oh, we are a crown. Oh, we are a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Why will he not be certain of his crown? They use peril. They use famine, hunger, threat to his life. They use frustration. They killed him. They imprisoned him. All to make sure he denounced that gospel he was preaching. He stood for righteousness. He stood for truth. He was sure he fought the good fight of faith. He stood on the truth. Whatever shame it goes with, he was ready to go with it. That is the battle. Until you come to an estate where you say, nothing in heaven or earth will make me compromise the word of truth. I cannot take anybody to heaven, but I can ensure I go to heaven. Oh yes, that is the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The fearful, he said, tell them to go back. Fearful, 22,000 out of 32,000 went back. And God told him, say, how many remain, Gideon? 10,000. He said, wait. Amen. Let me show you those who will go. The water test. The water test. You have seen the blood, remain in the water test. What is water here? Abundant life. It's okay. Everybody is going now. Everybody is going. Wait first. Release prosperity to them. The anointing of prosperity was released. And see their response after they are blessed. When they now have money, they have abundance of everything. See whether they will. They can still serve God. Let me show you the evidence of the two groups there now. He said, bring them to the water. He said, the one that lappeth the water like a dog, that is, you will fetch the water with your hand and drink it like this. From the river. Fetch it with your hand and drink it. He said, keep him one side. Then the one that see water, oh, he dash inside with his leg and he said, for his mouth, oh, and drink on his knee. He said, keep them one side. And I'll tell you who they are. Who are they? 300, only 300 out of 10,000. 9,700, immediately they saw, the majority of them dash as they saw water. They were thirsty. It is prosperity week. Anointing is released. All the suffer where I suffer all these years. Hey, so one day I can become a millionaire. Hey, brother Okada man. The water test. When you were using Okada, every day you were in the church. Now you have Sienna, Corolla, Toyota. The water test. When you have a job now, the water test. When your business starts now, the water test. You have become an importer and exporter. The water test. There's a minister that came back with his visa to America. He has gotten a visa. The water test. Prosperity, doors of businesses are opening. The water test. He said, see the way they drank it. Both groups, they were all by the water to drink the water. But one group fetched with the water from their hand and drank. They are the ones that qualify. Few of them. Who are they? The Bible says we should watch and pray. It is a posture of as I am enjoying prosperity, I am also watching. They are the only ones that can go in that battle. As you are enjoying the prosperity, don't take your eyes away. You must watch. There is something you are supposed to watch. You are in a battlefield and the enemy can come at any time. Don't be so engrossed in prosperity until you look away from the enemy who has vowed that you will not enter the kingdom. The other group, they just start. And all their attention was on that water. They were on their knees. They were just drinking. When they shall say, peace, peace, what will happen? Sudden destruction. That's what the story of Gideon is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 13, if you read it from verse 32 up to verse 37, all the Lord Jesus was saying there is, watch ye therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. In Matthew 26, verse 41, he said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. To the ministers, pastors, he said, therefore, watch for grievous wolves. In Acts chapter 20, verse 27, he said he was departing, and he was telling them in the church there that they should watch, because after he has departed, he said, grievous wolves will enter in among them to devour the flock. You have to watch. In 1 Thessalonians, Apostle Paul, in chapter 5, verse 6, he was saying, let us watch and be sober, and we should not sleep as others do. Peter repeated the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So from this you can see what you have to watch out for. Watch while we enjoy prosperity, church. I believe in prosperity. They drank that water the same way those 9,700 soldiers also drank. It's the same water. But the difference is, these ones were not taken away by the hunger and thirst. They were enjoying it, but they were also watching out. Watching out for the signs of the coming of the Lord. One of the signs is the nation of Israel. The activities in Israel, we should watch it because, hallelujah, Israel's nations are, how does that song say? How does it say? Nations are breaking. Israel are waking. The sign that the prophet foretold. The Gentile dismember with hollow encumber. Eternity soon will unfold. Hallelujah! The day of redemption is near.
Men's hearts are fading for
prayer. Oh, yeah.
Give you with a spirit,
your land streamed out clear.
Oh, God, your nation is near.
Yes, sir. Israel is one of the signs we are watching. The songwriter says, and we who live in yet remain, caught up
to meet our Savior Lord.
This hope we cherish nothing more. Oh, but we comfort one another by His love.
He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy, we welcome His return.
Oh, it may be
morning, it may be night or noon.
Oh,
we know He's coming soon.
Coming soon. Watch for that sign. The next thing that the bride of Jesus Christ is watching out for is for Revelation chapter 10 to be fulfilled. The voice of the archangel that produces the seven thunders. My prayer every day. There's a prayer I pray to God. And I expect everybody to pray that type of prayer. I told him, I said, I didn't know anything about William Branham. I just gave my life to Christ, JJ. And you saw the need for me to hear the shout. And you caused me to hear the shout. I told him, Lord, you who caused me to hear the shout, position me to hear the seven thunders. That's the truth. That's a serious prayer point. Praise the Lord. Because the next move of God after the shout is the voice of the archangel. That archangel in Revelation chapter 10 that sounded, cried as a lion, roared, and seven thunders uttered their voices. Some people say the thunders have sounded, but you, brother assembly, you know better. Some expectation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Watch out for the sign. Watch out for all the Bible prophecies. Watch out for what the prophet of this age told us to watch out for. Seven prophecies, seven visions that God gave William Branham that told him that these seven visions will come to pass. Then the rapture will strike. Five of them have come to pass exactly as he spoke. Remaining two. The two that remain is that woman that will rise in power in America. And William Branham said that he believes, now that is, he's not saying that is thus said the Lord. He just gave the prophecies the way he gave it, the way he received it. He spoke the way he saw it. And then said, when it came to that woman, he said that he believed that woman he saw that was extremely wicked. He said he see it as the Catholic power that will rise in America. And that is beginning to make sense to me, because years back, anytime I read these seven visions that he received, I always say that since all the other five came to pass exactly, that the visions were not given to him in symbols, exactly he mentioned the name of Mussolini and all Adolf Hitler and all these people that he mentioned, and they all came to pass exactly like that. I say it means a woman will come to rule America. That's why the bride of Jesus Christ all over the world, when we saw Hillary Clinton going in, all of us all over the world, if you go to websites and emails, and people started saying, could this be the woman Brother Abraham spoke of? Well, Obama delayed that one now. Whether she's still the one, we don't know. But if you follow my teaching last Friday, and I told you that so far, that prophet, that priest, Malachi, that prophesied, a Catholic priest that prophesied in the 15th century, 1559 AD, he prophesied that the total number of popes that will rise will be how many? 266 popes. And he said, as at the time he was giving that prophecy, they already had 103 popes. And he prophesied that there will be 266. And the Catholics believe him because so many things he said came to pass. And in response to that, because they believed it, they tabulated, they did miniature portraits, small portraits, in a leaflet like that, that I showed you Friday night. And then they put, each pope that ran from the first pope. They did it 2 years ago. From the first pope, they counted the 266. And they put this present Pope Benedict XVI. They put him as, he is the number 265. And at that time, he said, hallelujah, that the 265 pope, that the time that he will be reigning, according to the prophecy of priest Malachi in AD 1559. He said, when the 265th pope, the 265th one, will be on the throne, he said the world attention, a wild wind will be focusing on Jerusalem at that time. Is it not fulfilling now? All attention of the whole world is on that Jerusalem. And then he said, the last pope will be the one. Hallelujah. The 266th one. He said that will be the last one before the end. I say he is the one that will once again take upon himself the title of Ficadili Dei. Ficadili Dei. Ficadili Dei. What did they talk about? The Vicar of Christ. He said, and he will be the one that will come together and gather the ecumenical council into that one religion in the whole world. And praise the Lord. Like Brother Ewo Frank from Germany was saying, since the office of the Pope has been going on, no American has become a Pope. So why won't I believe William Branham when we expect the last Pope to be an American? Because the beast that raised up an image to the first beast, the second beast is America, proved in Revelation chapter 13. He is the one that caused everybody to worship the first beast. America will cause the whole world to recognize the office of the Pope. And to achieve that, it means the Pope must come from America. So William Branham said that sixth prophecy. He said that he saw a woman that rose up in power and authority in America, and he said that that may be the Catholic Church power. He said it was so wicked. And the seventh vision that we are watching out, watch and pray, that we are watching out for is what? It's the last vision he saw. He heard a noise and he turned and he looked and he saw the country of America blown to pieces. He said he saw an explosion. When he turned, he didn't see anything, only craters all over. America was blown to pieces. And William Brown said he believed that prophecy because he said, if God does not punish America, he said God is obligated to rise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. Because the abominations in America now, the ones in Sodom and Gomorrah was not half what is going on there. And God burnt them up. Why not? And you know that all these Arab nations, the greatest ambition of all these Arab martyrs, or what do they call them? Suicide bombers. All their number one enemy of this terrorist is America. And they are busy if they ever have access to have a bomb that they can throw in America to destroy. You know they will release it. America is not safe. They themselves, they know that they are not safe. They themselves, they know they are not safe. Heaven's powers are shaking and many are mistaken God's meaning to be understood. God's power. Of redemption is near. Oh, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. We feel with the spirit, your lamp streams are clear. Oh, look up, your redemption. Watch and pray. Drink this water with your hand like this. And look. Watch out for the devices of the enemy. The Antichrist spirit. That is out with the spirit of error. Drop everything that is anti-scripture. Drop it. Watch to make sure you stay with the Bible. Watch. Watch your spiritual life. Watch your spiritual graph. Make sure you are still spiritually alert. Watch and pray. No matter what estate you are, good or bad, don't lose sight of our eternal destination. This is how William Branham put it. They asked him, does it mean that Christ is coming soon? We should not go to school again? We should not do business again? He said, no. He said, plan your life as if Jesus is coming in 100 years' time. He said, but live your life as if he's coming the next moment. He said so, sister. He said so. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. My former pastor put it this way. Pastor Simeon put it this way. He said, church, he said, work with your hands, but serve God with your heart. I love that. Work with your hands. But make sure your heart is focused on your eternal destination. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me read the last scripture and we close. That same Mark chapter 13. If you're there, this is the way he put it. Chapter 13 and verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray. For ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. What should we do? Watch. Somebody shout, watch. The water tests. God bless you. Stand up and let us anoint you. He who has ears to hear. He who has ear to hear. Can you touch your neighbor's ear? Touch him. Touch him. Can you hear? Can you hear? Touch your neighbor's ear. Touch his ear. Touch his ear. Do you hear? Thank you. Thank you. Stand up with your Sunday offerings. What do you mean?